us pray. Speak, O Lord, speak from your word to us, so that your church will be built and we will be part of it. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're continuing with our journeying with Jesus today, and I'm going to talk about this phrase, his disciples followed him. I love that. His disciples followed him. They had followed him across the lake into Gentile territory. They had followed him back across the lake, and we know that exciting things happen in the middle of the lake as well. They followed him to Capernaum, where he healed St. Peter's mother-in-law. They followed him up into the hills as he preached. And now they are following him into his hometown. And you can imagine they thought, well, this will be great. Back to Nazareth. Probably some of them had never been there. And here was Jesus coming back to his family, to his friends, to the place that he'd grown up. And we know when people go back to their hometown and they're a celebrity, usually the town comes out and makes a big deal over them. We know if we go up north, I think it's Owen Sound, home of Bobby Orr. Is it Bobby Orr? If we go to another town, it's Wayne Gretzky. It's right as you go into the town, home of Wayne Gretzky, home of Bobby Orr. Home of William Shatner, all those famous people. People, like, they want them for their own. They sort of take them like, that's our boy. And they're proud of it. And you know, Matthew and Luke tell us that that's how this story started out. It's our homeboy. Come back. Oh, we're so glad to see him. And we're told that he healed a few people when he was there. And then he went into the synagogue to preach. Well, then they start asking the questions. Where did this man get all this? How did he become such a good preacher? How did he get to do all these miracles? Where did that come from? And they could not figure him out. And you know what happens when you go back to their own people and you're thinking a bit differently than they are, or maybe you've taken a few courses and you know a few things that they don't know, and it's like, who do you think you are? You're one of us, and you're doing stuff that we can't understand? On Sunday mornings, I get the Star delivered, and I always like to look at the sports page because it's got the weather on the back, and I cut it out and I put it up in my kitchen so I'll know what the weather's going to be all week. But I couldn't help noticing there was an article about knuckleballs, and R.H. Dickey is our knuckleball guy. He's also a fellow Christian. He's a brother in the Lord. And they were talking about knuckleballs. And he says, I just give in to the Spirit, and it's a mystery how these knuckleballs, apparently there's very few people who can throw them. But of course, engineers decided that they were going to try and figure out knuckleballs, like how they worked and how they could go so fast and have that curve on them. So they made a machine and they could produce knuckleballs, but even the engineers could not figure out how the knuckleballs worked. And as I'm reading that just this morning and I'm thinking about these people in Nazareth, we can't even figure out knuckleballs in 2015. And these poor people in Nazareth, they are trying to figure out, how did Jesus get all this power? How is he able to speak like this? And rather than, like R.H. Dickey, opening yourself up to the mystery, they decided to take offense. I don't understand it, therefore it's suspicious. And they didn't want him around anymore. They didn't want him there. I'm sure the disciples who had followed him to Nazareth weren't expecting that sort of reception. I don't know, if it was me, I'd be thinking, how could they treat Jesus like that? Don't they realize who he is? Don't they realize how important it is that they know him? It's hard for disciples to see when their master is not being treated very nicely. But of course, if we're disciples of Jesus, we're following him too, aren't we? We go into churches and we see that people don't always follow the things that Jesus said. Some of them don't even acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Easy for us to take offense too, isn't it? How could they treat Jesus like this? But what does Jesus do? Does he take offense? No, we're told that he's astonished. I think it was probably an astonishment of sadness, because we're told that the one who could still the waters with a word, who could raise that little girl that we learned about last week back to life, it says he couldn't do very many miracles there because of their unbelief. Our unbelief can stop miracles from happening, so that we don't notice them, we don't see them. But Jesus didn't take offense. Instead, what did he do? He said, prophets are honored everywhere except in their hometowns. See, we don't mind when the celebrity comes back. We don't mind when the one who's going to bring riches to our town, or who's not going to question anything, who's not going to tell us to repent, when that person comes, we're not so sure we want to see them. And Jesus said, I'm not just a celebrity. I'm not just a famous person who can come and heal. I'm also a prophet. And we know what his message is. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your eyes. You don't have to understand the mystery to become part of it. You don't have to understand where I get this teaching, other than maybe to think, if I don't understand it, maybe it's because it's from a different realm. It's from the realm of God's reign. But Jesus doesn't take offense. Instead, then Jesus traveled to the surrounding villages teaching. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm never going to go back to Nazareth again. That's it for those guys. He didn't say anything. He just kept going. He kept going to the next place that needed to hear his teaching. So often, we take so much offense. I was talking to a friend, a former colleague, the other day, and she was reminding me of something that somebody said to her. This is like at least 10 years ago at the government, that was offensive to her. And she's still remembering it 10 years later. I'm not talking about kids that have had a bad childhood or parents have beat them or really bad stuff. I'm talking about a tiny little offense that somebody gave her. And she's still dwelling on it 10 years later. Hasn't seen that person for probably 8 years. How often we can get caught up in taking offense and miss out that God's already gone to the next village to preach the good news. If we're Jesus' followers, if we're Jesus' disciples, his disciples followed him. We've got to leave those offenses behind. I'm not saying if you've got something huge and a psychological problem or you've been really hurt by somebody that you shouldn't get help. Go and see a doctor, go and see a counselor. But man, we've got to let those little things go. Go on to the next village with Jesus and see what he's going to be doing today, right now. The disciples followed Jesus. And then we get to the good part. Jesus says he called the 12. They're already around with him. So he's going to call them out for another mission and sent them out in pairs. Part of following Jesus is being the ones that are going to be called to do something for Jesus. We get to hang out with him. We get to learn how he does things. We get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then he sends his disciples out. He called the 12, probably called them by name. He does know your name. Maybe other people don't remember it from week to week, or they have to ask for clarity. What was your name again? Is it Antoinette or is it Antoinetta? But Jesus doesn't have to do that. He knows your name and he calls you. And I love this. He sent them out in pairs. Christianity is not a lone ranger discipleship. We need each other. There's going to be some times when you're going to be weak and ready to give up on the church. And the pair that you're with, the other person with, they're having a good day and they're going to say, no, we can't give up. Other days they're going to be down in the dumps and you're going to be able to encourage them. Jesus sent them out in pairs. Proverbs tells us that, doesn't it? It says, woe to the person who's by themselves. Much better that you be in a pair, so if one falls down, the other one can pick them up. Jesus calls us in community, not as Lone Ranger Christians, but in community. He called them and he gave them authority. Maybe you think, well, Shelley has the authority, like she's got the degree and, you know, the bishop is her boss, but I don't have any authority. Yes, you do. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, God gives you the authority to share the good news of the gospel with others. Maybe you do it through hospitality. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. Maybe you have the gift of music. But God has given you authority in his name to go out. To go out. I like that part. That's the hard part, isn't it? To go out. Most of us like to stay in. Let the people come to us. But God, I mean, that's important too. Jesus went to the synagogue, didn't he? But it's the going out part. The disciples had to be willing. When Jesus said, time to go to the next village, they had to be willing to go with him. And so he commissions them. He calls them, he sends them out in pairs, gives them authority, and then he tells them how to dress for success, as one of the theologians that I read this week says. You know how to do it when you're in the office, don't you? Although even that's changed, hasn't it? When I think of when I started working, what we had to wear to the office and what people wear to the office now, it's like night and day. And yet you go down on Bay Street, the guys are still wearing the suits, as are the women. Those power suits, high heels for the women, nice shiny shoes for the guys. And that's how you dress for success in that field. Well, Jesus is saying, if you're in my realm, if you're following me into the villages, this is how you dress. Take nothing for the journey except a walking stick. No bread, no bags, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but don't take two cloaks. Kind of weird, isn't it? Sandals and a walking stick and no money. Not even an extra cloak. People usually wore their one, something actually that looked like this, but they'd have a cloak to go over it. So if they got caught at night, they could put the cloak around them and it almost became like a bed. So you had to have two cloaks. He says, no, don't take that. Walking stick and sandals. Now that sounds pretty practical, doesn't it? Sandals, so, you know, if you're going over rocky territory, you'll be okay. A walking stick, you know, in case you trip, you've got something to hold you up. And yet, if we look at the Old Testament, sandals were clothes of honor. If you had your sandals on, you were in a place of honor. Jesus is honoring us as we go out. He's telling us to wear those sandals. Tells you, you're part of my kingdom. And who used a stick or a staff in the Old Testament? Anybody remember? Moses. That was what he used to show God's authority. That was how he parted the Red Sea. It's a symbol of authority. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you sandals. I'm giving you honor. I'm giving you a staff for authority, but nothing else. no money. You are totally dependent on me for your mission. It's not going to depend on how many degrees you have. It's not going to depend on everything. And you need to let people know that you're totally dependent on me. You're not carrying, you're not even carrying an overnight bag. You don't even have a second cloak with you. But that's because we're not tourists. We're not going to be staying at the Holiday Inn. What does he tell us when we go out to do his will? Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. You are going to be dependent on the people that you're ministering to. You're going to give something to them, but they're going to give something to you as well. And he says, don't even go from house to house. Like maybe somebody's taking me in and, oh man, they have a really too soft a bed. I'd rather be at that guy's over there. And then we become arrogant again and we try and go to the best place we can be. Jesus said, no, no, you're not tourists. You're there doing my will. Whoever's offered you hospitality, go in and take it. You are dependent not only on me, but also all of my children, even if they don't know my name yet. And they're dependent on you to hear the good news. And then he says, I love this part too. If the place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. I sometimes think that this is more helpful to us. Yes, it's a witness against them. They didn't believe. But maybe they'll get another chance. Maybe there'll be another missionary coming through. But we need to shake it off. Oh, I left that denomination. Just couldn't stand those. We've got our list, don't we? Baptists, Catholics, Armenians. We've got a whole list of churches that we left behind, shook off the dust, and oh, they aren't people of God's will. But maybe we need to shake off the dust for ourselves, you know? Okay, they were doing it that way. I'm called to do it a different way. I just have to leave it. I don't want to be still telling the story of all the bad things that happened to me as a 20-year-old when I'm 76. That's like way too long. We need to shake off the dust as we're leaving those situations and say, God, you take care of them. I'm on to the next thing, the next village that you're going to, the next exciting new thing that you're doing in your world. And so they went out and they proclaimed that people should change their hearts and their lives. That's the Jesus message, isn't it? First thing he said when he started preaching, repent. The kingdom of heaven's here. We get to share the same message. Repent. There's a new life being offered you. Go a different way to find happiness. Turn around. The old ways aren't working anymore. And I love it. They cast out many demons and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. There's the authority. If we're following Jesus, if we're doing the things that Jesus has asked us to do, the authority that we have as his followers, always done in love, are going to bear fruit. People are going to be healed. Healed of sicknesses, healed of emotional problems, healed of a life that is futile into a life that bears fruit. And actually, we didn't read it today, but Mark doesn't end this story until verse 30. Because at the end of their time out in pairs, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. It all comes back to that time with Jesus. They couldn't wait to get back to him and tell him, wow, you were with us and it worked. People's lives were changed. Our lives were changed. That's not going to happen unless we do what they did at the beginning. Jesus left that place, went to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When we follow Jesus, he's going to open up a whole world to us, a world that's just waiting, some of them, to hear the gospel. I'm glad he went to his hometown first, because not everybody's going to be willing to listen. Not everybody's going to be ready to hear the gospel. But he didn't take offense, just shook off the dust and went on to the next. He invites us to do that too. As we live this summer, you don't know where God's going to take you. Maybe just around Toronto, maybe out to different places that you're going to visit throughout the summer. Go as a follower of Jesus. Expect him to open the doors for you, that you're going to be able to share the good news. The good news where you can say, repent. There's a new life being offered to you. I pray as you do that, you will know the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be filled with the joy that filled Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Proclamation comes to you from St. Saviour's Church and features the sermons of the Reverend Shelley McVie. If you are in Toronto, why not worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.? Everyone is welcome at our historic Village Church located at 43 Kimberley Avenue, east of Main Street and south of Girard Street East. For more information, visit our website, saintsaviours.ca.